680 AM. I'm Tyler Friel, and we are here on WISR 680 AM. And we are working on election coverage, and we'll have to take a short break, and we'll have to see. Oh, we're good now? All right, we need to. Okay, Pat Parker's behind the board here. I'm on the other side. We've had some technical difficulties here at times, but it looks like things have been resolved. That's the pleasures of doing live radio. Well, anyways, it is great to have you aboard here on this Thursday. I'm Tyler Friel. This is our extended news at noon, and we are continuing on with our candidate interviews as we have been highlighting local races here across the Butler County area and in the region. Today, we will be focusing on the 12th House District, and that is in the portion of southern Butler County that includes Cranberry Township. Our first guest is Daniel Smith. He joins us. He is the Democratic candidate for that district. Daniel, first of all, we appreciate you taking the time and welcome to the program.
Tyler, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you asking.
So Daniel is running. This is your second race, correct? Yes. In the 12th district.
Yes.
As we have mentioned to basically all the candidates before, there's a lot of candidates who get involved and want to be a part of public life because there's one major thing they would like to accomplish. Is there a big goal that you would like to get done at Harrisburg if you were to be elected?
Yeah, first of all, to bring their tax dollars back to our area. First off, once again, thank you for having me on. This is the opportunity to really reach out to the voters at this time that when we ran in 2018, we had a message that local issues aren't partisan issues, and it's still true today. Whenever we contact our emergency services, they don't ask what our party affiliation is when you call 911. Well, at least not yet. You have teachers, whenever they ask for the roll call for the first day of school with their students, they don't ask, well, what's your family's party affiliation? I think what sort of, let's back up a little bit, what prompted me to finally do something is the conversations I've had with local leaders in the area. And what I have found out from the majority of them is the fact that they have not had communication with our current representation for the past 20 years. And when I also looked further in, you know, whenever you get a paycheck, whenever your listeners get a paycheck, they actually have taxes that are taken out for federal, they have taxes that are taken out for state, and they have taxes that are taken out for local. What we like to expect is our local tax dollars to go to improvements, for parks, for schools, for roads, sidewalks, whatever the case may be. But I have found out that, especially in Cranberry Township alone, they spend our local tax dollars, and I don't blame them for this. They spend our local tax dollars on lobbying firms to go to Harrisburg to fight to bring money back to our district. When we have a state-paid representative with our state tax dollars that's collecting a pension, that's collecting state tax dollars, and saying it's not his job. Now, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, that should make you mad. And that's what prompted me to move. He can present anything he wants on his mailers. That's fine with me as far as supportive is concerned. But as far as dollars coming back, I'm seeing my dollars go to Philadelphia. I'm seeing my dollars, your dollars, going all around the state and not coming back. We need to be able to have a representative that focuses to bring our tax dollars back and not just on national issues like he has been focused on for the past 22 years.
Well, what major issues then do you see? Okay, what tax dollars would you like? Maybe infrastructure projects? What different projects would you like to see the Cranberry and all the various areas of the 12th District focus on? Say you are able to get the tax dollars to come back here, mm-hmm. spent here. What major projects would you like to tackle?
One of the major projects I'd like to see as far as education is concerned, there's a lot of unfunded mandates that are out there that our teachers have to follow. But I think we need to really take a look at whenever you look at politicians. There are two types of people in Harrisburg or any type or in federal office as well. Is what I like to call there are politicians and there are public servants. The difference between the two is politicians are trying to keep their job versus the public servants who are doing their job. I'm looking at the fact that I have 2 years afforded to me if the people of this of the House District 12 do provide me the honor of representing them. And I'm going to do as much as I can and get as much as I can done and not put it into terms. I'm putting it into years, 2 years. One of the things that I'll be focusing on is being a major advocate and being a major voice in order to push ahead and move forward to eliminating PSSAs and keystones in this district. This is something that we need to be able to have some sort of an agreement and compromise between the states and the municipalities. That's something that we can bridge the divide, but nobody wants to get their hands dirty on it. And I'm not looking to, like I said, keep my job for 3, 4, 5 terms. I'll do this in, and we're jumping in fully to get that done. So it's going to be basically on education, moving that forward. But most importantly, it's truly bringing tax dollars back to help with the construction on the infrastructure and building more on the roads in this area. He has supported that, and I do understand on his mailer that he doesn't have a vote, but he has a voice. He has a voice to work with PennDOT, and constantly he says, it's not my job, but the voters have a chance to put a native son in place that will make it his job to do that.
Talk about education. Let's dive into that a little bit more. You're talking about the elimination of PSSAs and Keystone exams, which are standardized tests that are done at the high school level and elementary level in certain instances. What would then be the proper replacement? Do you feel like there should be a standardized test amongst all public schools in Pennsylvania? What do you feel that the role of the Department of Education should be when it comes to bringing testing to local school districts, or vice versa? What do you think the role local school districts should play in the education world of K through 12?
Tyler, I won't assume what your age is or when you graduated on high school. But I'll be honest, I graduated from Seneca Valley in 1993. And prior to that, with the various grades, I didn't have the senior projects in order to graduate, I think they're called. Now, that's what the Keystones present. When we had our standardized testing days, I'll be totally honest with you, I made designs with the circles, and I know a lot of other people did too. But what we're looking at right now are students that are, literally taking antidepressants and medications in order to go to school. We have teachers who are developing a curriculum around these tests. I honestly feel that the decision-making as well as the knowledge of these fundings need to be put back into the specific schools, need to be put back with the teachers that know the students, the administrators that know the demographics of the area, and the school board that does the same thing. Right now, the testing that's actually happening with the PSSAs is not only depriving a school social life for our children, what it's doing is providing just a lot of heck within the household with parents trying to calm their kids down, and the teachers that are forced to be able to do this and devise a curriculum to make it happen. There's no right answer yet, which is why I said I would start getting my hands dirty, because you have politicians that don't want to do this. And I'm recognizing in the area, this is an important thing. It worked when I was in high school. Why can't we go back to what was happening? I plan on revisiting that and speaking with teachers and speaking with students and bringing the people to the table, which has not happened in our area.
And we're talking with Daniel Smith. He's the Democratic candidate for the 12th District. Want to talk a little bit about higher education. And boy, we've really seen, especially over the past 2 weeks, some major movement and discussion and decisions being done amongst the state system of higher education, in which the State House of Representatives does play a major role in. Yesterday, IUP announcing that they're going to have some major reform and restructuring to how they're going about their business. Edinburgh, CalU, Clarion, all schools in the area who are seeing enrollment decline. As a state representative, you would be overseeing the state system of higher education. It's a two-part question. One, do you believe that the 14 state schools in the PASHE system is a sustainable way forward? And B, how do you envision that the future of higher education will look in Western PA? I know it's a bit of a broader question, but how is this current system sustainable, is essentially what I'm asking.
Well, yeah, the current system is sustainable, but what we have to look at is the fact that going in, once elected, I'm actually going to be picking up something that's been ignored for 22 years. Yes, the nuances within the education that you're speaking about, it is important. I mean, heck, I ended up going back to school myself, online schooling, because obviously when you're running for office, that's sort of what you have time for. I think that it should be available for everybody. I think that it should be affordable for everybody. But if you don't have politicians who are trying to keep their job to really work and bring the necessary people in the room, then yes, we're going to have issues. We're going to have problems. Now, I want to revert back to what you were saying before about our tax dollars. One of the things that we were talking about as well is making it work within our area, even to help students like that to go to the various schools that you spoke of within the state. One of the things that I'd like to really get my hands dirty with is providing a public transportation system within Butler County. I think that this is something that has been important and has been brought to my attention by one of the commissioners of Butler County, too. I traveled to Pittsburgh for 15 years before I was laid off with Bank of New York Mellon in November of last year. And it and I've seen Newcastle, I've seen Washington County, I've seen Beaver County, I've seen all these buses that travel from their counties to Pittsburgh to drop people off. Why don't we have something here in Butler? We have someone in the Butler City that works for a hotel that might get $14 an hour, but if they work for the same hotel in Cranberry, they end up getting maybe $20 or $22 an hour. But what's stopping them? A car. So if we actually have something to be able to bring people together within the district to build it better, to build the communities together and stronger, I think that that's a focus that also representatives should do with tax dollars to be able to fund that and help municipalities. Once you get from point A to point B, it's a matter of getting them to their destinations once you get them to point B. But working with the municipalities, that's one of the other keys too. So with your education question, with what we had talked about with PSSAs and transportation, it's a lot in 2 years. But the thing is, that is something that it will get more attention than it has been in 22 years.
One of the biggest questions facing the state legislature is the upcoming budget. Estimates right now look anywhere between a $4 to $6 billion shortfall for the Pennsylvania state budget. And essentially, when you're looking at a budget shortfall, representatives and legislatures are given two options: raise taxes, cut programs. Mm-hmm. What type of hard decisions would you be looking at? Specifically, what would you be looking to do to balance the budget?
Well, I think we actually always get in trouble with this because you have the Republican stance as far as no taxes, and Democrats are the people that, okay, God, we're going to have taxes raised like crazy. As I said before, at the beginning, before we went on the air, I've been a lifelong Republican myself. I'm a fiscal conservative. I believe in a balanced budget. But the thing is, what I have actually listened to when I talked with individuals, and mind you, that was close to 20-some thousand people we talked to in 2018, voice to voice. And we brought up that suggestion. And a lot of people, Republicans mostly, are keen on if a tax is made, as long as a representative can talk about why something is happening, what is being funded, and how it's done effectively, they would be open for that. But we have a representative, our current representative is basically instilling fear with raising taxes, guns, and abortion, and telling you who to blame for it, which technically a party, rather than what's happening. So what I tend to do is, and that's the downfall, when Darryl ends up making, he doesn't meet with people. He doesn't meet with town halls. He filters his town halls, but if you have a representative that votes with what your district does and not just party rhetoric and so on and so forth, you're able to effectively talk to anybody on why you made that decision. I like to see legalization of marijuana, to tell you the truth. That's something that's not tapped in. That will take care of a lot of unfunded mandates that are out there and be able to help that out. I mean, that's what we see. We see that with gas taxes. We see that with everything. But I'm not the type of person that wants to raise taxes. I'm not truly in depth with the budget. But what I will do is be able to do something smartly with it and effectively be able to explain it to the constituents and go off of their feedback, unlike what's happening right now.
And you mentioned, you know, raising, and, you know, Governor Tom Wolf has brought that up to legalizing adult use recreational marijuana. And sure, yeah, that will bring some tax revenue.
Yeah.
Not going to cover a $4.5 billion shortfall.
But
on the counter side to that, going back to the state system of higher education, they're coming to the state legislature asking for $35 million. So you have state entities who are coming to the table going, hey, we need more money. Meanwhile, the state legislature is sitting there without any of that money, which means there are going to be some tough decisions that need to be made.
There are very tough decisions. And I have to take an example of what just happened here in Cranberry recently that not a lot of people know. I mean, I think you reported on it as well, the sale of the Westinghouse building that just happened. There was a phrase in there that even Jerry Andre, the wonderful Cranberry Township manager that's been with us for so many years, couldn't even answer. We actually... Cranberry Township and the school districts, surrounding school districts, were actually impacted by that sale because we did not have the necessary tax revenue that we could have because of a loophole that Westinghouse took advantage of not paying transfer taxes. And with that, we actually did our due diligence to look back at the various votes and the various bills. And this is actually something that Darryl had voted yes on for this, to protect these particular companies to take these loopholes. So what did that do? That deprived us and our area of close to $400,000 in tax revenue. It's the stuff like that in order to focus on and be able to say, what can we cut, what needs to happen, and what can we have leaders that can truly discuss with how things are going on and be able to discuss what taxes are going for. But we don't. We don't have anybody. And with the new vision and new people going in, they have a job, like myself, to fix a mess that's been going on for decades. And that's what we're hoping to do with new vision. That's what we're hoping to do with this election. And that's how we bring it up. There's a lot of things that have come out with this. In 2018, there was a vote to lift the statute of limitation on child sex abuse victims. And it was during that time when Cardinal Worrell was brought into that. Well, I don't think Darryl understood that we had Cardinal Worrell Central Catholic High School in our district. But what people don't know is he was one of 23 votes that voted no to lift the statute of limitation on child sex abuse victims. It's that type of record that he doesn't share or that he doesn't have within his mailers that he sends out. He sticks with rhetoric. He sticks with guns. I own a gun myself. I honestly feel that it's the law of the land. Everybody has the right to own guns. It's something that is not going away, no matter what people say. So let's move off the rhetoric. Let's move off the talking points and tell me exactly what you have done with this district, and you won't get anything from it.
A few more minutes here with Daniel Smith. He is a Democratic candidate for the 12th District. I want to talk about the size of the legislature. 203 state representatives, 50 senators. It's one of the largest state legislatures in all of the United States. The average representative brings in about $88,000 and a pretty nice pension to boot if they are willing to accept it. Do you believe that this is a fair size for the legislature? Do you think that there needs to be reforms done all across the state House of Representatives in terms of the number of representatives in Harrisburg?
To be honest with you, I've actually just been worrying about our district because we haven't been represented. It's kind of tough. As far as with the numbers are concerned, it has to be able to – that's one of the things that we have to look at to see if we are overrepresented, or because I'm actually – one of the courses that I'm studying in right now to finally get my political science degree is the fact that there's some states that you have legislatures that are going part-time. You know, they're getting paid $300, and they have to carry a full-time job in order to do it. We are a full-time entity. This is something that needs to happen. And I think that we go through, in the public sector, we go through layoffs. We go through layoffs to save money. I mean, 15 years at my employment, I've been in 25 years in the banking industry, and out of the clear blue, I get layoff papers. We never know what our position's going to be like. If we need to cut it back, then we cut it back. If not, it just all depends on what the numbers show. But do I think that it's a lot right now? Yeah. Do I think that it's a lot of people not doing anything? Yes. That's something that, once again, the people have the chance to vote people and to recognize that and do something about it.
Final question for you in regards to Pennsylvania election laws. Do you believe that where we are with election laws are a good place to be across the state of Pennsylvania? The bipartisan vote really to allow mail-in ballots in the fall of last year, and then currently where we are, Pennsylvania's at the heart of the 2020 election, and there's been a lot of controversy surrounding that. Do you feel comfortable with Pennsylvania election laws, and do you think there's anything more that needs to be done?
I actually do. All I know is that whenever I got my ballot in the mail, I did it. I have family concerns for myself, health concerns because of various health diagnoses that actually just came up. So I ended up doing a mail-in ballot, and I had no problem with it. I got the notification. I think that the Butler County Commissioners did a great job in getting the mail-in ballots voted. As a candidate running, we got the numbers in from the polling whenever it closed, and then that evening we ended up getting the numbers from the mail-in ballots while Allegheny County is waiting for 2 weeks, while we have other counties in Philadelphia waiting for so many days. So I think that Butler County itself is actually doing a great job with it. I don't think there's anything to worry about. What I do see are these constant battles within the court systems that's draining the taxpayers. I mean, we had that situation end up happening that's like with Darryl itself. He has been more on impeachment, and he's been more on just trying to take, you know, people to court and spending taxpayer dollars in order to do that. And it's totally against his slogan of protecting the taxpayers. So to be honest with you, I am confident with our mailing system. I am confident with our election system, and I think that each year gets better and better. The party that has to be worried about is the one that makes the most stink about it. I've always said within work, if there's an entity that's making a stink about it, chances are they have problems with it, and it's not going to be in their favor. Well, look what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a lot of people stepping up with that. We got to put faith. We got to put faith in the system, and it's just going to be the bipartisan bickering, the partisan bickering back and forth about it. It really is.
And actually, I have one more final question for you. You have run for this particular office before, announced a bid for congressional office in the 15th district, was the candidate for the prothonotary's office before dropping out to that. One of the criticisms would be that, you know, you're
the back and forth professional
candidate. You've been on the ballot on a number of these races, and you're back on the ballot again. People would be asking, okay, you know, what's going on here?
What happened with this was I was addressed after the race in 18 to give it a try for the prothonotary office. And keep in mind, I had a full-time job at the time. I actually got a promotion at my job at BNY Mellon. And after thinking about it more and going along, I was helping one of the commissioners out in order to apply for this. And when I got to the point, you come to a decision whenever you end up running, is it the right thing to do or is this the right thing? But when you announce it, it's sometimes you're too out of time or just in time or too early. For myself, I had decided to back out from that race mainly because I loved my job. I enjoyed what I was doing. And not bringing down the job of the prothonotary, I just didn't see me wanting to be a four-year administrator for something like that and with paperwork and so on and so forth. So that's why I talked to my family. I said, nope, we got to step back from this. Then all of a sudden, whenever that happened, it was approached for the congressional race. Because of what we did in this area, Ron DiNicola did a great job with what he ran for Kelly. And at that point, I felt that because of what his deficiency was garnering the votes down in this particular area. What we did with Darrell, we had the highest Republican turnover vote for us. We had the number one campaign in the state that outperformed historic numbers. So I figured, yes, why don't we give this one a try? Because doing something in office, that's what I wanted to do. That's why I stepped up to do with Darrell. So I started that campaign, and we started going on. Then what happened was there was somebody that was going to be stepping up and running against Darrell. And when we got down to talking with her and doing what was called the postcard, you know, the Rolodexing, going through your points for raising money and so on, what happened was she ended up backing out because of family issues. And while I was in that congressional campaign, I'm thinking to myself, look, Darrell is going to be unopposed once again. This cannot happen. And at the time, I was confident with the people that were already in the race. You had Edward DeSantis, and now you have Kelly, you have Kristi Ganibas that's running now too. So after talking with them, and after talking with the election, talking with the Dems, talking with all party officials, I said, look, I cannot have this happen. This is why I went in the first place. Yes, I feel that we have a good chance against Mike Kelly, but no one's running against Darrell. And then that's why we suspended that campaign and moved over. So it's not for a professional elected position or anything. There are reasons why things had happened, and I'm glad that you brought that up so we can clear it up. But that's the reason why I did it. And that's why we announced once again to go back to Darrell. I didn't announce to Darrell again running against him because that woman, the woman that was doing it, was already planning on doing it. But when she backed out, I respect my area so much. I've been here since I was 1 year old. I've been through this when it was growing, and I take pride as a native son wanting to help this area. That's why I stepped up and wanted to do this again.
He's Daniel Smith Jr., he's the Democratic candidate for the 12th House District, and he is challenging the incumbent, and that is Representative Darrell Metcalf. Our newsroom reached out to Representative Metcalf's office and did not hear back for this portion of the interview, so that does it with our time today. Daniel, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much for your opportunity, and thank you, listeners, for listening.
We'll be talking 15th Congressional District tomorrow, so make sure you tune in and see Extended News at noon on WISR 680 AM.